Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Four down and two to go. Or maybe we can say four and a half down and one and a half to go. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about six evidences of election that Paul could identify in the lives of the Thessalonian believers, members of the Church of Thessalonica, to whom he is writing this epistle, a church that had been founded by him on his second missionary journey in the Roman province of Macedonia, in the northern part of the Greek peninsula. A town where he didn't have a great deal of time to spend, but the time he spent there was evidently very, very effective because a great many people were saved, some Jews, some devout Greeks. Those are Greeks that were worshiping at the synagogue, so they weren't yet full proselytes. They hadn't committed themselves to the Jewish religion, but they obviously had recognized the problems with their pagan temples and idols in Thessalonica and were more inclined to believe that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Jews, the God of the Old Testament scriptures, was in fact the true and living God. And so they were worshiping in the synagogue. But then evidently there were even a greater number of Thessalonians who were saved straight out of idolatry. They went from the pagan temple where they worshiped all the time, all of their lives, and then heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and were saved and immediately left that temple and joined themselves to the new church in Thessalonica, the only church in Thessalonica, where other believers were worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and following the Jewish scriptures, which were, in fact, became in time, with the passing of time and with the collection of the New Testament books, the Christian scriptures, and they had had a tremendous transformation. And Paul makes note of that in the last part of verse 9, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That is the fifth evidence of their election, and we'll talk more about it after I welcome you to this Monday, March 11 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for considering our financial needs and your consideration of helping us with that need. So what have we seen so far? Paul said in verse 4, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. How could you know that, Paul? How can anybody know who the elect are? Well, here's how I know that you are. I don't know who all of them are. I certainly don't know who the ones are that haven't yet come to Christ. But I know you are, and how do I know that? And he lists bang, 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 six evidences in verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 of this epistle. And what are they? Number one, your gospel reception. You received the gospel. Other people didn't believe it. You warmly embraced it. You received it gladly. That's evidence of your election by God. Number two, your changed lives. You became followers of Paul and of Silas and Timothy. Instead of walking in the ways of paganism that you had grown up in, you immediately became followers of those who were followers of Christ. Your life was changed. But beyond that, number three, you became examples to others as Paul and his team had become examples to you. It wasn't long before your life was so powerfully evident that other Christians, new Christians, newer than you evidently, started using you as an example of what it means to be a follower of Christ. You became an example to others. And then number four, your effective vocal witness. You not only lived a life of Christian conduct, but you vocalized the gospel of Jesus Christ. For from you, verse 8, the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. The message was spreading, and their testimony to the glory and the power of the gospel was unabashed. It was nothing, they weren't holding back one bit, and a report of that went all over the Greek peninsula and beyond. But then number five, and the one we're dealing with now, is their rejection of false religion. How you, verse 9, turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, the point is that when the gospel came to them in saving power, they recognized the falsity, the emptiness, the deceit of their former religion, and they embraced the religion, if you want to call it that, of Christianity, the religion of Jesus Christ, as represented and proclaimed by Paul and Timothy and Silas. The question is, how could they make that change so clearly? How could they recognize the falsity of the religion that was dear to them? They were immersed in it culturally. They were immersed in it intellectually. That was familiar to them. It's hard for people to leave the things that are familiar to them. It's hard for people to leave the culture they grew up in. It's hard for people to leave the belief system that they've had all of their life and that their family continues to embrace and that their neighbors and friends and coworkers continue to embrace. But they recognized all of that as being wrong. They turned from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, here's my point. It is the same today. I read recently, very simple statement, but very true. If the gospel you preach isn't 2,000 years old, it's a false gospel. Isn't that the truth? We're not looking for a new message. We're not looking for a new slant. It's the same. Ever since Jesus Christ came, the message of the gospel has been exactly the same. And the message which changed their lives and caused them to recognize the utter emptiness and falsehood of their former religion will also enable anyone today who becomes a Christian, a true born-again Christian, to recognize the falsehood of the wrong messages that are all around us. We don't have to have a PhD in biblical studies. We don't have to have an MDIV. In pastoral studies, we know by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and by the teaching of God's Word, we know what is the truth and we recognize counterfeits quite readily. I'm not saying we always recognize them immediately with perfectly immediate perception, but we do. We come to know the truth. It's in a sense, what Jesus said when he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In that same passage, he said, a false shepherd, a counterfeit shepherd, I'm putting this in my own words, they will not follow. Well, are you sure? Don't you know Christians that have been deceived by false teachers? If they stay deceived, that's evidence that they're not true Christians. If they stay deceived, that's evidence that they are not one of the elect of God. We're talking about the evidences of election, which turn out to be the evidences of genuine conversion, the evidences of true salvation. And one of the evidences is that those who are truly saved reject false teaching. They reject false gospels. We may continue to debate and argue about certain elements of biblical doctrine, and some Christians will see it this way and some will see it the other way when we're talking about eschatology, for example, or talking about the subject of baptism, for example. When it comes to the gospel, How are people saved? What is the gospel? What must people believe in order to be saved? And if they do believe it, they are indeed transformed. They turn from false religion, whatever it may be, and follow the one true and living God. That is so foundational, that is so integral to true Christianity, that when people can't seem to tell a false teacher from a true one, and I know some of these false teachers are very deceptive and they'll string you along for a while, but if you continue to listen and compare what you're hearing with Scripture, you will very soon come to recognize the false teacher and you will turn your back on that false teacher. You will turn your back on that false religion, no matter how attractive it might be otherwise. In other words, what I'm saying is, I think we have reason to be concerned about professing Christians who seem to not be able to tell the difference between a true teacher, a false teacher, a true representation of biblical Christianity, and a corrupted version of biblical Christianity. Paul says this is one of the evidences that you are truly one of the elect of God. This is one of the evidences by which I know that you have been truly born again, that you have turned to God from idols. You've turned to God from false religion, and you have embraced the one living and true God. I'm concerned when I realize that people that I thought were Christians are listening to teachers on television or on radio. You're listening to me on radio now, but are listening to teachers on radio and television or on the internet who are heretics. They are false teachers. They are preaching a false gospel. But people who will listen to them and then turn around and on the other hand and listen to a sound Bible teacher, but don't seem to be able to tell the difference between them. It seems to be they like people based on the way they speak. They like them based upon their personality. They like them based upon virtually anything except the truth of what they're proclaiming. I like this guy. He appeals to me, but he's a heretic. He's teaching a false gospel. Can't you tell? Why can't you tell? What's wrong? Those who are truly saved recognize false religion for what it is. They turn to God from idols. They don't seem to have this trouble that some professing Christians have in our day. Most assuredly, I say to you, said Jesus, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some of the other way, the same as a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings them out, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Why do some professing Christians feel a kinship with, a drawing to false teachers? The only thing I can figure out is that they haven't truly been born again. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.